nothing to do with what's been going on in here this morning. But I feel like God still wants me to preach it. Amen. I believe we need help from the Lord, don't you? I want you to take your Bibles and turn two places in your Bible. Y'all bear with those PA guys up there. They're doing their best. Amen. It's got a ring in it. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 17. Mark is our main text for the morning. Then Matthew chapter 17, when you find those two passages, if you'll please stand to honor the reading of God's holy word. The Lord didn't settle my heart till late last night on what to preach, and began dealing with me out of these verses, and just got a thought. And I pray that God would help me this morning. Y'all pray for me. That God would help me to get across the message that God has for all of us. And I do believe that He has a message for every one of us. I don't believe this is just a showboat thing. I think God has a message that He wants preached to His people. And I want us to look this morning, Matthew 17 and Mark chapter number 9. Matthew 17, I'm sure that this is familiar to some of you. In Matthew 17, we'll begin there in verse number 14. It says, "When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Let's read the last part of that verse one more time. I need it. "And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Now, if you will, look in Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. The same account. Matter of fact, this account is given three times in the Gospels. Again, in Luke, but we're looking at these two and mainly Mark chapter number 9 this morning for our thought for the morning. And you pray that God would touch your heart and speak to you and do a work within you. You see, we don't need just an emotional thing. We need God to do something that will carry us out of these doors, that we'll be what God wants us to be out in the world as well as in here. I'm thankful that God will manifest himself in here. I'm thankful for that. But I need God out there just as much as I need him here. I don't want to be the kind of preacher that just prays for the power of God when it's my turn to preach. I need the power of God out there just as I need the power of God behind this pulpit. I want you to look in Mark chapter number 9. I'm going to back up a little bit now in this story. We're going to lead up to it. It says in verse number 9, it says, "As they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. The same account as Matthew 17. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Have you ever been there? You believe, but you don't believe enough. And you just need more faith, more belief. And only God can do that for us. And he cries out, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I ask you to pray for me as we approach the preaching of this text this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for being so kind to us. We appreciate the mercies of God, Lord, what we've already experienced. But Lord, I know that you're still wanting to accomplish many things in hearts and lives of us all. So Lord, please use me even now. Lord, you know exactly what needs to be said, what needs to be done. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would use my life to convey your thoughts unto these dear people. Now, Lord, touch every one of us. Lord, not only do I need your touch, the people sitting here need your touch this morning. So I pray and plead with you that, Lord, you'd please move in this entire congregation. And we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for all that you'll accomplish. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. As I said, this text, this thought, this same narrative is given three times in the Word of God. Again, in the Gospel of Luke. And you pray for me that I get this message across in a fashion that would help all of us, that would mean something to you, and that God would do an eternal work in all of our hearts through this thought this morning. My thought for the morning, when I began first working on this message, I really didn't have the thought that I've got coming into it this morning. At first, I thought, well, I'm going to preach a message out of the beginning verse of chapter 9 of Mark, where it says, as they came down from the mountain. And I thought, well, I'm going to preach a message and I'm going to entitle it, Coming Off of the Mountain. And you know, there are a lot of mountaintop experiences in this thing called church. I mean, there's a lot of times we come in here and I mean, God is so thick and moving and so real that you almost need a seeing eye dog to get around. I mean, it gets good in here sometimes. And I've got to admit, I have been on the mountaintop with Him at times. Amen. Well, these, well, they were just on the mountaintop of transfiguration and they saw the glorified Lord in front of them. Oh, what a meeting they had that day. And it was such a meeting that they were saying, Lord, it is good that we be here. You ever been in one of those kind of meetings where you say, Lord, I'm so glad I didn't miss that one. I'm glad I was there at church today. Matter of fact, that's usually how it goes whenever you do miss. Amen. But here they've had a divine meeting with God Almighty, and thank God for those meetings that are like that. Thank God for meetings where God is just so real to you that you can't help but waving a hand and just the tears are running and the shout just begins bubbling out. You begin purring to the Lord and thank God for meetings like that. But they were now coming off of the mountain back down into reality. And as I began looking at this, I thought, well, I'm going to preach a message and I'm going to entitle it, Coming Down Off the Mountain. Pretty good thought, wouldn't you agree with me? I mean, that would be a good thought to preach on, but that's really not where the Lord is directing my heart for this morning. Then I got to thinking as I began preparing and studying a little bit more, I began thinking, well, I'm going to preach a message on powerless disciples. And from the text it said, we brought him, the dad said, I brought my son to thy disciples and they were not able to do a thing for my son. I mean, they were powerless. And I thought, well, Lord, I'm going to preach a message on powerless disciples. But as I got up this morning and began seeking the Lord and praying and studying again and looking over the text again, this thought kept coming to me out of verse 28 in Mark chapter number 9, where the disciples, when they get in a private meeting with the Lord, they said, Lord, why could not we cast him out? And this is the thought that I want to try to convey to you this morning. Lord, why can't we? Lord, why can't I? Have you ever wondered why it seems like at times we are just so powerless? Have you ever wondered in your life why it just seems like you just have to go through the motions to make it through a service or a day, and it just seems like you just all bound up and you get to wondering, Lord, why am I so powerless? Well, you see, these disciples, they had the mountaintop experience, and thank God for those. Thank God for the times when we come in here and God is thick and God is moving and it's just, there's no doubt about it. God is in the house. But then when you come off the mountain and you get out into the real world and where the Christianity really needs to be expressed, why is it we are so powerless? This young boy, I want to paint a picture with this young boy. He represents the people of this world. Will you agree with me that the people of this world are lunatic? They're mad. They're devil possessed. Can I get a witness right there? This world is a nut house. They are lunatics out there. I mean raving lunatics, foaming at the mouth. What they say absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. The way they live makes no sense whatsoever. The things that they do absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. And here when they get off of the mountain, there's a little stir going on over there to the side. And the Lord gets Peter, James, and John with Him. He's been up on the mountain with them and He comes over there. He says, "What is going on over here?" And the daddy said, "Lord, I brought my son to Thy disciples, the ones that had been empowered by Jesus Christ Himself, the ones that had been given all power that Jesus could give an individual. Here are these disciples." And they said, "Lord, we brought him to Thy disciples, and they could not heal him." Have you ever felt just so inadequate, inefficient in the things of God? Can I say this morning that this little boy representing the world needs Jesus Christ. That's what's wrong with him. That's why they're acting the way that they're acting, is because they have no God, no hope. They have nothing in their lives. And they're just grabbing at anything they can get to try to help them make it through this life. Can I get an amen right there? This world is crazy. I lived in this world for 29 years as a lost man, and I can testify that there is some junk out there. There is a lot of worldly junk out there that'll mess your life up if you get messed up with it. And this world is inventing these things and trying these things and messing with these things just to try to make it through life. I saw the other day where there's a new fad going around, and don't any of you try this. You young people, don't, I better not hear of any of you trying this. But there's a new fad going on, and it started on the internet. And what they'll do is they'll get a teaspoon of cinnamon and put it in their mouth and try to hold it for 1 minute without drinking anything. And that cinnamon gets hot, and that cinnamon is fine dust. And when they finally get to the end of it, they spew it out, and it's just like a fine dust. And there's been some carried to the hospital and almost died because of trying this stupid thing. What are they thinking? They're lunatic. They're a nutcase. They need Jesus Christ. Amen. They need Jesus Christ. And I still believe that Jesus wants to save everybody. Don't you? I believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the entire world. I thank God, hallelujah, that He died for my sins. I'm glad I once was blind, but now I see. I'm glad I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm glad that all my sins are covered in the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful when I come to church, I can meet with God and hear with me. But may I remind you, there's a lot of people out there dying and going to hell that needs the same covering that you and I got. They need Him just as much as we needed Him. This poor boy, the devil's got him. Don't you understand that the devil has got every lost person that we encounter? Whether it be at school, young people, listen to me now. Whether it be at school, the ones you bump into, whether it be at work, whether it be in your family, whether it be at the grocery store, no matter where it is,
God has placed you where He placed you to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in this dark world. Matter of fact, we are the only light that there is. And I've got to admit, the lights are dimming quicker and quicker, and they're glowing a lot less than they used to glow. But may I say this morning, that Jesus Christ, He still wants to seek and to save them that are lost. I believe with all of my heart that every person I see that is lost, that God wants to save them. Amen. He's lunatic. He's doing weird stuff. He's wild. He's foaming. He's gnashing. And the Bible said that He's pining away. I remember around Christmas time. If you don't think this is a madhouse, at Christmas time, this old lady pulled out pepper spray and pepper sprayed a bunch of people in Walmart over some tennis shoes. Y'all remember that? I mean, sent some of them to the hospital. This is a nutcase world. But brethren, God put us in the world to reach those nutcases. You see, sometimes we don't want to have anything to do with them. But I believe the reason we don't want anything to do with them is because we are so powerless in our witness for Christ. Have you ever wondered, Lord, why can't I make an impact on somebody else's life? Lord, why can't I influence somebody else for Christ? Have you ever wondered why your life just seems like it doesn't do anything for anybody else? It just seems like you're in your own world. Have you ever wondered why that it just seems like you're so ineffective as a child of God? I believe that the Lord gives them three reasons in this text of why they were so powerless. You see, these disciples, they realized that there was something lacking in their life. They realized that they needed more of God in their life. And when they got in a private setting with the Lord, they pulled the Lord off to the side and they said, Lord, why couldn't we? Why can't we? I'm looking back at you. I'm including myself with you. Why can't we? Why can't we be influential out there in the world? Why can't we win them to the Lord? Why can't we be a witness for Jesus Christ? Why can't we bring them in? Why can't we? Why are we so powerless? They said, Lord, why can't we? I'll give you three things this morning that He told them. And I'll just run over these things kind of briefly, and then we're going to find ourselves down here at the altar. Number one, He said one of the reasons why you're so ineffective. Do y'all believe that Jesus Christ wants to save everybody? I'm talking about the ones that you work with. I'm talking about the ones that y'all go to school with. I'm talking about the ones that's in your family. And the Lord placed every one of us in a certain place so we could influence them for Christ. Number one, He said, your main reason is just unbelief. I got a challenge. I don't know when I'm going to give that challenge. Might be at the end of this message. Might be in just a few seconds. I don't know. But what if there was somebody that you were going to touch base with today, and that person, this was their last day on planet Earth. Do you believe you got enough of God about you to talk to them about Jesus Christ and win them before it's too late in their life? You see, I may be old-fashioned, but I still believe in a burning hell. I still believe there's a real hell. I thank God for church settings. Thank God. Thank God for the musicians. Thank God this morning for those that will work with the music. Thank God for a youth choir that will get up. But brethren, there's people out there that's dying and going to hell that needs a witness, that needs a little light, that needs somebody to care enough to carry the gospel to them.
He said, because of your unbelief, faith expects God to do something. Faith will get down here and pray. And faith will get up and look for God to do something when it gets up. I believe I'll say it again. Faith will get down and pray. And when faith gets up, it turns around looking, God, what are you about to do? Because I just ask you and I believe that you're going to answer that prayer. Faith believes in God, and our God has never lost any of His power. Our God has not lost His will. Our God is still God Almighty that sent His darling Son to a place called Calvary to shed that blood for every sin of every individual. Oh, we go to meet. I was thinking about this with all of the energy that we have in the church today. I mean, high meetings. I mean, explosive meetings. And we pray and we sing and we see them all just explosive meetings inside the church. What about out there? What about out there when we come off that mountain? What about out there? Are we telling people about Jesus Christ? Are we sharing the witness of the gospel with those out there? Oh, it's good in here. But you see out there, they're needing to hear about Jesus Christ. Oh, Charles Spurgeon, that great prince of preachers is what he was called. He had a group of young men that would go out on the streets and preach. And he said one day, he said that group had been out and they'd been out on the streets, working the streets, telling people about Jesus Christ and preaching. And said one of them called him to the side and said, Mr. Spurgeon, said, I'm so discouraged with this thing called street preaching. He said, why is that? He said, well, I go out with the other guys and the other guys get up and preach and they'll see fruit from it. They'll see somebody get saved or somebody will take a tract and promise to be at church. And then he said, I'm just so discouraged because I can get up and preach with the same crowd, same setting, same people. He said, but I never see anything happen. And Charles Spurgeon looked at him and said, son, I'm going to ask you something. He said, do you go expecting God to do something or do you just go? He said, well, I go and I hope that God will do something. He said, you'll never see God do a thing until you get to expecting to see God do something. Because of our unbelief. Now I want to say two. He said, oh, faithless. Now listen what he calls them. Now this is Jesus Christ speaking. He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long have I got to put up with you, is what he was telling them. Uncleanness is another reason why our lights are so dim out there in the world. Sin in a child of God's heart will keep our witness out there from being all that it should be. You see, God does not need somebody with the mental aptitude to get the gospel out.
God does not necessarily need somebody with all the money of the world to get the gospel out. But God does need a clean vessel that'll be clean in the sight of God and hate sin as much as God hates it, to be an effective witness out there in the world. You know why there's so many people dying and going to hell? It's because of the sin that is settled in the hearts and lives of God's people. And God says, that's why people are dying without me. Uncleanness. Dr. R.C. Campbell listed 9 things that sin will do in a Christian's life. I want you just to bear with me as I read these to you. Number 1, sin will make him unusable. Sin will make a Christian unusable. Number 2, sin will break his fellowship with God. You see, you can't live in sin and still be in fellowship with the Lord. Just don't work that way. Sin, number 3, will destroy the Christian's joy. It will just totally take all the joy out of you. You can't live in sin, child of God, and enjoy this life. I've heard countless people tell me that backslid on God. They said, Brother John, while I was out there living in that sin, I was the most miserable person on planet Earth. You know who I believe is the most miserable person on planet Earth today? It's that child of God that's living in sin and keeping that sin, they think, hid and keeping it up under the covers and playing with it and toying with it and messing around with it. I'm here to tell you that it'll destroy our witness out there in the world and take your joy away from you. The 4th thing, it'll stop him from praying. Sin will stop us from praying. The 5th thing, it says that sin will cause him to become a stumbling block instead of a road map to heaven. People, I want to tell y'all this, that sinners are watching us. You may not think they're watching us, but sinners are watching your life. They're watching how you live. They're watching every aspect of your life. And when a Christian starts living in sin, their lives become a stumbling block before the lost people instead of a road map to heaven. He said another thing that happened, number 6, it'll withhold spiritual prosperity, including the winning of souls. Number 7, it'll expose him to the chastening and correction of God. Number 8, it'll cause him to suffer loss of reward. And number 9, it'll cause the defeat of the army of God. Brother Stephen preached on Achan last Sunday night, or Sunday before, preached on Achan and how one man that had some sin in his life caused the whole army of God to become defeated. And whenever one Christian sins, it'll kill the witness and the light that God's wanting to be spread out there in the world. He said, number 1, he said, because of your unbelief. Number 2, because of your uncleanness. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Then I want to say lastly, not only were they powerless because of unbelief, not only were they powerless because of uncleanness, but thirdly and lastly, when he's in that private meeting with them, he says, you couldn't do it. You didn't have the power because of your unconcern. He said, this kind only comes by prayer and fasting. I read a story the other day about this years ago in this Methodist meeting. Back in the days when if you walked in a Methodist, Baptist, Nazarene, it didn't matter what kind of church you walked into, you was going to hear repentance and hellfire and the gospel preached. And back in those days, this lady was at a revival meeting and the preacher was preaching. And said about the meeting, said it broke out and said people were getting saved. And said the guest evangelist that night during the invitation, he said, if you've got somebody lost in your family and you're concerned about them, he said, I want you to come forward and just take my hand and let me know about it. And said that this lady that was in the meeting said that she went forward and
she took the preacher's hand. She said, "My husband's lost." And she said, "I want you to pray for him, that God would save his soul." The preacher looked at her and he said, "Madam," he said, "one question I need to ask you before I agree to pray for him." She said, "Have you?" He said, "Have you prayed for your husband?" She said, "Well, no, not really." He said, "Have you spent all night in prayer for your husband's soul to be saved before the flames of hell lick his soul in hell?" And she said, "No, sir." She said, "I've not spent all night in prayer." And this is what that man said to her. He said, "I doubt that God would burden any busy preacher to pray for your husband unless you are concerned enough about him to really pray for his lost, hell-bound soul." Unconcerned. I wonder when's the last time we got down and prayed and said, "Lord, use me to win them." I had a slide made and I was going to shoot it up on the screen this morning, but we couldn't get it all put together. Had a blue backdrop, had a picture in the corner of the world, and then just the question up top in white letters: "Why can't we?" Have you ever got concerned enough that you get along with the Lord and you say, "Lord, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be effective." The other day I got a phone call. And the phone call was from one of our church members. And they said, "Brother John, there's a guy that lives up in Tocoa. Said he's about to die. Said we need to get he's asking for a preacher or somebody to come." And so we knew that Brother Lee Pointer was pretty close, and I told the individual, I said, "Look," I said, "if Brother Lee can't go, if Brother Adam Veal can't go," I said, "I'll go up there." I said, "Whatever it takes." And it was just one of those moments where the witness needed to be there. And anyway, the connections were made, and Brother Lee Pointer had time. He had a funeral that afternoon, but that early that morning he went up there. He said Tocoa was only about 20 minutes from them. Got up there and a young fella, from what I understand, a young fella on his deathbed. And Brother Lee got there and shared the gospel with him. And then I got a phone call from Brother Lee and said he got saved. Said he got in. I said, "Well, praise the Lord." And Brother Lee got to tell me, he said, "Brother John," he said, "thank you. Thank you for letting me know about it." He said, "I've been praying lately that God would make me a better soul winner, that I could win people to Jesus Christ." I just want to ask you something. Why can't we? Old time church, the early church, they get up and preach and 3,000 people get saved. Said about them, said that they turned the world upside. That's what the lost people were saying about them. They would pray and the place would shake. The power of God got so real. Why can't we? Why can't we? I believe the Lord gave us three reasons that we can all identify with. Unbelief. Here's my challenge. It's a challenge, a test challenge. What if you were to pray? What if you were to, during this message, come down here and pray and say, "Lord, let me win one person this week"? Would you believe it enough to pray it? "Lord, let me. Lord, use me to win one this week." See, this is not just for preachers. It's for all of us. Not just for the young. It's for all of us. Would we have enough belief that God would direct our lives and use our lives to the point to where God would lead us and put us in the spot with somebody that was lost to be able to witness to them and tell them about Jesus Christ and them get saved? Unbelief, uncleanness, unconcern. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I heard someone say this one time and I thought it was pretty good and I wrote it down. It said, there'll be no Pentecost unless there's plenty cost. We're just not willing to pay the price. It may mean us to go a few meals without a few meals just in concern about lost people. I'm just going to give God just a minute to settle on this thing. Why can't we? I wonder if we were living back then, we experienced what the disciples experienced. I wonder if we would have been the kind of disciples to pull the Lord off to the side and say, Lord, why couldn't I be effective? Lord, why couldn't I help that guy? As we stand to our feet,